This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, July 12th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. As more of us get vaccinated and head out to reconnect with friends and family or return to the office, one thing that isn't returning to pre-pandemic levels is the cost of catching a ride. Prices on apps like Uber and Lyft are skyrocketing. So what's behind the surge, and how are the companies responding? On today's show, Preeti Khurana, who covers the gig economy for the Wall Street Journal, joins us to discuss the path forward for ride hailing. That's after these headlines.
3, 2, 1, release, release, release. Clean release.
That was the moment when Virgin Galactic's VSS Unity released from the mothership before taking a short trip into space. The ship, carrying a full crew, including the company's founder, British billionaire Richard Branson, climbed 53.5 miles above the Earth's surface. Those on board were able to experience weightlessness for a few minutes before heading back down to Earth and landing at the company's spaceport in New Mexico. Here's Branson afterwards.
Honestly, nothing could prepare you for the view of Earth from space. The whole thing, it was just magical.
This was the first fully crewed mission for Virgin Galactic, which plans to start sending paying customers into space in 2022. We did a deep dive into the future prospects of space tourism in Friday's episode. So if you haven't checked it out, be sure to cue that up next. President Biden is taking aim at the broadband industry in his effort to promote competition and limit corporate dominance in the U.S. In an executive order signed last week, the president directed the Federal Communications Commission to add new protections for broadband subscribers. These include creating a standardized format for presenting internet rates and limiting certain fees. The order also seeks the revival of net neutrality rules, which prevent internet service providers from slowing or blocking legal content online. But the proposals aren't a done deal. The FCC is an independent regulator and is free to reject or tweak the president's ideas. And the case against Tesla's 2016 acquisition of solar energy company SolarCity gets underway in Delaware today. A group of Tesla investors alleges the company's boss, Elon Musk, misled shareholders to get them to approve a deal to buy SolarCity, where Musk was also chairman. The plaintiffs say they weren't fully informed about SolarCity's financial distress ahead of a vote to approve the deal. Musk's attorney says SolarCity was financially solvent, and they framed the acquisition as an opportunity for Musk to realize his dream of creating an all-in-one energy company. All right, coming up, ride-hailing is at a crossroads. The number of drivers is down, but ridership is up. What are Uber and Lyft doing to address the problem? That's coming up after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Maybe you've had this experience. You're running late to meet a friend, or maybe you're headed to the airport. You've got no time to get on public transportation, and when you open up your favorite ride-hailing app, boom, prices are surging. Well, that's the situation facing more and more people these days. Uber and Lyft prices for the second quarter are estimated to be 79% higher than they were during the same period in 2019, before the start of the pandemic, according to fare tracker Gridwise. So why are prices so high? And what does it mean for passengers, drivers, and the ride-hailing companies themselves? Joining us to discuss is our tech reporter, Preeti Khurana. Hi, Preeti. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So there are a couple different angles that we can look at this from. Let's start with the passengers. What differences are passengers seeing when they use the ride-hail apps?
Well, Zoe, fares are at an all-time high right now. So what passengers are seeing is, you know, skyrocketing fares, you know, just to go from your home to maybe your office. As people return to work, they're taking to social media to say, my Uber ride now costs me 5 times as much as I used to pay before the pandemic. They're also seeing wait times go up. So the landscape has absolutely changed for passengers as well.
And why is that? Why are prices so high right now?
Well, the companies are facing a massive shortage of drivers. So what's happening is more and more riders are coming back to the roads, and a large pool of riders are competing for a limited pool of drivers because not as many have returned to keep up pace with demand. So what's that doing is that it's pushing the prices of those rides up.
And are those price hikes, are they scaring passengers away? Are they turning away from these apps?
It's hard to say because demand is still up if you compare it to the lows of 2020. At this point last year, you know, we were in the midst of nationwide lockdowns. So demand is still up. But yes, some people have definitely taken to Twitter to show receipts that show that, you know, an Uber from, say, Midtown to JFK cost them more than their flight from New York to San Francisco. So that was really something. It is discouraging a few people. A few people have taken to Twitter to say, okay, we're going to take public transport, or we're just going to take the yellow cabs now. But remember, there are cities around the country and across the world where public transportation is not an option. So in that case, it's convenience for people who are willing to pay. It's convenience over, say, changing 3 buses or not really knowing if you will get a yellow cab.
Yeah, nobody wants to get hit with a bill that's higher than the flight that they're about to get on. You know, you mentioned that there's a lack of drivers and maybe a surplus now of riders, but where did all the drivers go?
That's a very interesting question. A lot of drivers went to industries like food delivery or e-commerce, areas that were booming during the pandemic. So some Uber drivers that I spoke to now became DoorDash drivers, or they deliver for Instacart, or they're joining services like FedEx or UPS that also saw a surge. So some drivers just went to doing other kinds of gig work. There are a few others who are getting unemployment checks from the government. And so they say, well, while we're getting these checks, we really don't feel a need to go out and work. The other aspect of this is, which is what the companies said they found, you know, when they surveyed drivers who weren't working for them anymore, some of them said, well, we're still concerned about safety. It's safer now to do a contactless food delivery over, say, having a passenger ride or having multiple passengers ride in your car.
So really multiple problems keeping drivers from getting back on the road. How are Uber and Lyft trying to solve this problem?
Starting around March or April, when things reopened, the companies began giving massive bonuses to drivers, you know, short-term incentives to just get them to come back and drive. So how these work are, you know, as a driver, you would get a notification saying, hey, if you take 5 consecutive rides, you'll get $30 extra. Or if you take 10 consecutive rides during a certain hour where, you know, there is more demand and not enough supply of drivers, we'll give you a $100 bonus. So that did help bringing some drivers back to the roads. It did help in bringing prices down in some areas. But that's not a long-term solution.
So then how do they plan to keep drivers long-term?
They're at a crossroads now. They say, you know what? We realize that we can't solve this with short-term incentives alone. We have to make driving a more attractive proposition long-term. 10 years ago, drivers would just turn to Uber and Lyft if they thought of gig work. Now you have so many more avenues. So what Uber told me that they're going to announce is education and skill-building programs for drivers. So what happens is you are driving for Uber, and most drivers drive part-time, but their thinking is, while you're driving for us, you're also gaining other skills along the way that would be helpful for other jobs down the road. Lyft said it is exploring a partnership to drive down some of drivers' biggest expenses. Now, some of their biggest expenses are gas, insurance, down payment on, you know, the cars that they buy. Lyft hasn't said which of these expenses it's trying to cut down, but it said that it's looking at a sizable discount on one of drivers' biggest expenses. So for the first time since rideshare has become a massive industry, the companies are talking about long-term shifts.
So how are the drivers reacting to these plans?
The people that I spoke to said it's a step in the right direction where at least the companies are acknowledging they need to make driving more attractive for the long term. But most of the drivers I spoke to said, hey, we want more money in our bank account now, not 2 or 3 years down the line. So there is a slight mismatch between what the companies are promising and what drivers say they want. What drivers want is better pay. What they want is more visibility into pay.
So speaking of how much money Uber and Lyft are taking in, I remember when these companies went public, there was a lot of talk about this strategy of incentivizing drivers and keeping costs really low for passengers, and how, at least in the short term, it meant these ride-hailing apps weren't going to be turning a profit. We're several years out from those IPOs, and they're still pursuing this strategy. So what does this mean for their long-term goals?
Right. You know, when they started out, the mantra was certainly growth at all costs. So what both companies were trying to do was push out the other. The idea was if we burn all of this venture capital money into getting as many consumers, as many drivers as we can, then maybe Uber thought maybe we can kick Lyft out, and Lyft thought, hey, maybe we can kick Uber out. So there was this price war where they were sort of wooing consumers with big discounts and incentivizing drivers with these bonuses to take those rides. But in the last few years, you know, we've seen Silicon Valley sour on this growth at all costs strategy. Investors have pressured the companies to bring costs down, to steer themselves towards a more profitable future. And both companies have actually promised to be profitable by a certain measure by the end of this year. So this crisis also comes at a pivotal moment for Uber and Lyft, just as they were trying to cut costs and pivot towards turning a profit. To their credit, they have done a lot of cost cutting during the pandemic, but absolutely, there is no way that they can continue giving these massive discounts to riders. So some of the analysts say that riders should be prepared to pay more for their rides going forward. It's never going to be as bad as it is right now during the driver shortage, but don't expect the dirt cheap rates that you got before the pandemic. And in some ways, you know, while this driver shortage is a moment of reckoning for the companies, it's also a moment of reckoning for consumers. If we want these companies to pay the drivers more, then as consumers, we should be willing to pay more.
Well, that seems like a good note to end things on. That's our reporter, Preetika Rana. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review us. You can do it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM-agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.